This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Did you have a wonderful Labor Day weekend?
Of course. I took a 3-day weekend and extended into, I think, 4 or 5.
Love that. Well, everybody I talked to was going to the lake. Everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we took the little children over to a little small pond to let them fish. And they didn't know anything about fishing. And we told them we needed worms, and I thought they were going to run away. They go, worms? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord. It's a new generation.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
They did not understand what fishing actually consists of.
No, they did not understand it. And they were impatient, you know. They wanted just to do this thing and, you know, go on, get the fish right quick. We tried to tell them it's a slow process.
Yeah.
You have to sit on the bank. You have to do all this, you know, and they didn't want to do that.
Yeah. If you want fish quick, you got to go to the supermarket. Otherwise, this is a leisurely activity.
That's right. We tried to explain that.
Well, that's nice. Did they like it? They had fun, it sounds like.
The little one, he said they didn't give him any time to play. So he was concerned about that. He said, you know, it was all right, but he said, I just didn't really have a good time.
He was concerned.
Yes. I mean, you know, he said they didn't give him time to play.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But that everybody else thought it was great.
Well, good. Good. It sounds like huge fun for everybody. So you had a good Labor Day weekend. It's rare that you take a 3-day weekend because I know how much you work and are dedicated to doing good stuff. But you did take a little time to enjoy and relax a little bit.
That's right. And when you're with little kids, you know it's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gosh, you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Never know.
In the Fay Bagby household, exciting could be just about anything.
That's exactly right. And when you've got Max, it's really exciting.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
Max is doing well, but he's, you know, he's an exciting dog. He's not one of these calm dogs that just sits around, let me tell you. I mean, you know, oh, my gosh.
He's still rambunctious.
He is very rambunctious. And all the people that put out these stories about, oh, the Golden Doodle's such a wonderful family pet and everything, they need to say, yes, he's a family pet, but he's a menace to society because he's going to run and jump. And, I mean, they can run 50 miles an hour.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Really fast. They're not somebody, one of those little dogs that's going to lay by your side.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, they're into everything.
Yeah. They like chew all the furniture and shoes and pants and everything else.
Well, did I tell you the other day that I had to leave and I left him in the yard. Uh-huh. And somehow the back door didn't close. He got in the house while I was gone.
Really?
And you know what? He did not tear up anything. I thought, when I found out, I go, everything's ruined. It's over, you know? And because there wasn't anybody here, I guess it wasn't fun. So he didn't bother anything.
So
that's the only thing I can figure out. Yeah.
He let himself into the house and just didn't really, he kind of, like, I would imagine, just walked around, realized nobody was there, just laid down?
I guess he did.
Wow.
Because he didn't tear everything up. I mean, there were so many things he could have ruined while we were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, ruined. Mm. And he didn't do it. I don't know why.
Wow. And you said that you left and he got in the house. I thought, oh, no, this is not going to end well.
That's what I thought. When we found him, we were going, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But thank goodness he did not create a problem.
He did not create a problem. Wow. Well, that's nice. How old is he?
8 months now.
He's 8 months. Wow.
He weighs 31 pounds.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
He's a big old boy.
He is big, and I don't know how big he's going to get. Mm-hmm. His paws are pretty big.
Don't they say that if they have big paws, they're gonna be a very large creature when they get full grown?
That's what they tell me.
Oh boy!
If he has big feet, he's gonna be big.
Oh man!
Yeah,
it's a very change in personality compared to the llamas, because they're so docile and friendly.
Yes, llamas are very docile. They just walk around and look at you and watch you. They like to watch everybody work. They like to be involved with you. They get lonely, but they don't bother anything. Absolutely nothing.
Wow.
And that's why they're so friendly and everybody loves them. But it's a lot different with Max.
It's a lot different. Do they interact? Do they get along? Have they seen each other, try to play with each other?
Oh,
I don't know
Max
how it works.
Max goes out and runs up and down the fence and talks to him all the time. But, yeah. At least he doesn't bark at him anymore. He's gotten used to him enough that he doesn't bark.
Oh, he used to bark at him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. They're probably thinking, what is this creature that's yelling at us all the time?
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Cute. Well, it sounds like it was a great Labor Day then, and everybody had a good, relaxing
everybody
time.
Everybody had a nice time. I think my employees enjoyed the time off.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, yeah. So,
and nobody
Labor
got hurt.
Labor Day was a success.
Good, good. That's what it's all about. The final, I guess, the blowout of summer, and now it's just we kind of relax and wait for some holiday time off and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and we'll check
well,
back in
February.
The stores
have already got their Thanksgiving stuff out, and I understand one store's even got some Christmas out. They've gone too far.
Are you serious? Christmas is out already?
Somebody said Hobby Lobby has already got Christmas stuff out. I mean, I guess they're afraid we won't have one. That's the only thing I can figure out.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's like, are you going to go, like, actual to a store and go shopping this year? Because last year was so different and so weird. A lot of places you couldn't go in and, like, walk around and, like, look for Christmas gifts and things like that. You had to do everything online. Are you going back to the store this year? Or
no, I planned it. I liked the way it worked out. Yeah. It worked out better. It seems like on screen you can see everything much better. You just look at everything and just make those decisions and get it ordered.
Yeah.
I'm big in ordering.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you last year, you were like, oh, no, when you order this, do this. And I'm like, really? I mean, you were teaching
That's
me.
That's right. I mean, I was ordering everything, having a great time doing that.
It redefines window shopping, I guess.
It does. It's a whole new deal.
Well, this year, I think maybe it might be a little bit more, well, I don't know, because normal, I guess, is different. So it'll be its own entity, I guess, for holiday
That's right.
shopping. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there. You can get references. You can read all about different things. You can see what people have been making, which is really important. So our website is very important. Everybody should use it.
You do get a lot of feedback from people who have, even from existing clients to new clients who come over, and they do a lot of, you know, research and homework before they actually start, you know, talking and getting involved in life settlements and things like that. And so you've actually said that people have said that there's a really just a ton of actual information, because sometimes you go to a website, you're looking for information, there's just a lot of fluff and there's just nothing there. And you've got a lot of meat and potatoes that's actually very helpful.
That's
for
right. We spent a lot of time doing this, and we've refined it several times. I know our lawyers check it all the time to make sure everything is accurate, that it's lawful, that it meets all the standards, which I don't know if a lot of people check theirs, but we do check ours.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, it's yeah. another layer of assurance that people can be assured of that
yes,
all this
because it has to be accurate.
Yeah.
No mumbo jumbo. It's got to be right.
No mumbo jumbo.
No.
All right. So where are we on finances for investments, things like that? What's the current status?
Well, in my opinion, you know, everybody needs to stay steady with their investments. They need to keep them going. You know, I've been reading this week and seeing on television all this about they think the market's going to go down 10 to 15% before the end of the year. So people, if you're in the market, you should be very cautious, I think. You know, the world is kind of iffy right now about, you know, investments, I think. So I think that's something to be concerned about. And, of course, ours are safe because they're in life settlements. They're in life insurance policies, which I think are a lot safer right now than the stock market. I don't know, you know, how other people feel, but I like the reliability of the policies. And I think our clients do, too, because, you know, they invest over and over again in them. And so if they weren't doing well, they would not be doing that.
Yeah. And speaking
of, I've got several clients, as you know, we talk about them all the time. They have a large portfolio with us. And so they have a lot of income coming in. Their interest income is very good. And it's because they do it over and over. They have a lot of maturities. We've had a lot of maturities this year, like we always do. We're looking for some more maturities very quickly. And that's how they make money with us, is the interest on these maturities. And they're averaging, you know, about 22, 24% on an average.
That's pretty great.
I think it's pretty good. I don't know where you can make this kind of money and do it safely, where you know you'll get your money back. You always know you'll get your principal and your interest back. And a lot of investments, you don't know that. There's a gamble on a lot of them.
Yeah.
Whether you'll get paid. And so I think that's a good thing. To always be conservative, especially if you're middle-aged. I hate to say that. But, you know, people come to me and say, we're going to retire. We want to put it in this. We want to get out of the stock market. And this is when they become really conservative when they're getting ready to retire. It changes their whole attitude.
Well, it seems like, you know, as people are, you know, earlier, you know, those who start investing in their 20s or even in their 30s, it seems like they take a little bit more risk, a little more gamble because they have a little bit more time to recover in case something happens. But the closer you get to retirement, and we used to talk about this a lot, not so much lately, but is like as you get closer to retirement, it's like you start to really analyze things and say, gosh, if I'm going to, you know, retire in 5 years, if I'm, you know, completely in the stock market, say, and something happens, which could happen at any time, we don't always have a warning, the bottom could fall out. And then all of a sudden, people may have to, you know, like cancel retirement. And that's not something, or even go back to work if they've just started retiring. You've had stories of people coming to you with that before, too, right?
That's exactly right, and we don't want anybody to ever have to go back to work. Once you retire, go out and live it up. You know,
yeah.
Enjoy your life while you can. I recommend that highly. Don't sit down. If you sit down, you're going to get old, folks.
Yeah.
So none of us want to sit down. You've got to keep working every day. It may be at the golf course that you're working those clubs. That's a good thing. You may be out on a boat. That's great. But don't sit down. Stay active. And the ones I've got that are really active, you know, it's really kept them younger, a lot younger.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like to be able to have the freedom to do things like being active. I know a lot of people will go ahead and travel for the first couple of years. And so really whatever you've got, whatever you've done to prepare for retirement kind of dictates what kind of retirement you're going to have. And so if people are taking risks and they get closer to retirement, something could happen and they may not be able to travel. They may not be able to go, you know, hang out on a boat. They may not be able to buy a ranch. They may not be able to do all the things that you talk about people enjoying to do. And the solution seems like it's so simple. It's so low risk. It's so easy to do. They just really have to get off the couch and make time to do it. You say procrastination is really the biggest thing that is really people's biggest hurdle when it comes to this, right?
It is. A lot of people procrastinate. They'll say, Faye, I've been listening to you for years. Now I'm ready to do something. So lots of times it takes people 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years before they make up their mind how they want their investments to go forward. You know, what do I really want to do with my money? And the people that have just got CDs, you know, they're backing up. I mean, if you're getting 0.10 or 0.16,
yeah,
you know, that didn't even pay for the paper to send the statement out.
Yeah.
And those people, you know, need to decide, do we want to have that extra income, or do we have all the income we need? If they're sitting there and they say, we have so much money, we don't need any income, that's fine. They just park their money and go. But if you say, look, we've calculated how much money we're going to need, and we need extra income. We need interest coming in all the time. Then they need to get off their duff and make a decision. How do you want to do it?
Do you actually have people that come in and say, we've got enough money, we don't need any more?
No, I've never had anybody say that we've got enough, we don't need any more. I've never had anybody say that in my life. I've had a lot of people say, well, we've just kept our money in the bank all these years, but we've decided this is safe enough that we'll do it.
Yeah.
I've had people say, you know, we had a 401k, and we've quit our job, and now we want to make an investment.
Is that a good
time? We don't
want
to just put it in the bank.
You know, we talk about getting ready for retirement and you know, growing your wealth and, you know, doing all the things that you've got to do to be responsible to do all the things after you retire. But you do have a lot of people that won't start a life settlement type of investment until after they retire, right?
Well, as they get ready to retire. Mm. I've got a lot of people say, okay, I'm going to retire in a month or 2 months or 3 months. And that's usually when they come over. And if they own their own business, they've been busy, they haven't done a lot, they've just, you know, really kept in cash. And so then they say, okay, I've got this much money to invest, now's the time I want to put it in.
Generally speaking, I know everybody's situation is different, but generally speaking, when somebody does, you know, come into you and they say, you know, hey, we want to retire in a few months, we really want to kind of get into life settlements, What's their general landscape look like? I mean, obviously, I would assume that everything is paid off. They've got several hundred thousand in the bank, something like that. Is that a pretty good start to painting
the
picture?
That's right. Usually they say, our house is paid for, our cars are paid for, our children are don't need us to help them. They've got good jobs. They're doing good. We've got $500,000 here. We'd like to put it to work.
Wow.
So, and then we say, okay, how much? And I say, well, when I retired, I got this much per month. So they don't need the cash right now, but they need the interest coming in a year or 2 years. So they're going to invest where that they've got a steady stream of money coming in. And so, a lot of people said, Faye, we want you to handle it where we can just go live like we want to live, where they don't have to worry about it every week or every month. They don't have to be checking it all the time.
Yeah. And that's another, I guess, great feature of a life settlement is that people aren't up all night, you know, checking their portfolio in the middle of the night. They're not looking to see if, you know, geez, do we have anything left? You know, if we're on vacation, do we have enough money to get back home? I know it's an exaggeration, but still, I mean, things can happen. And I think people still remember 2008 when people got wiped out, you know, pretty much overnight. And it's a real legitimate concern because we've seen it. A lot of us have, you know, it's happened in our lifetime. And so always having some kind of a plan in the back of your head is probably a wise option, especially if some of the buzz you're hearing says that there may be, you know, a downtrend between now and the end of the year.
Well, and it's like this. Back then, you know, I saw it coming. That's when I still had stock. And I got out of everything. And if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't have had anything left. And everybody can remember that. A lot of the people were not telling them to get out. They were saying, hold on, stay where you are. don't do anything. And it cost them hundreds of thousands. You know, I tell the story about this CPA that I knew, and she was in Colorado. She had $300,000 in the market. She called the broker and said, sell it. I'm in Colorado. I'm scared. Just go ahead and sell it. And you know what? He made up his mind that it wasn't a good idea, and he didn't sell it and cost her a lot of money.
No. Oh,
yeah,
man.
I don't think she ever forgave him. I wouldn't have, because she told him. And when you give them an order to sell, they're supposed to do it, and he did not do it.
Wow. He just went rogue and did his own
thing.
He decided
that he was smarter than her and that he knew what was best for her, and he made the call.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And yeah, it was scary, and it cost her a lot of money.
Man.
And then I had some people that had only been with a brokerage house 30 days, and they lost $100,000 in 30 days.
No.
So I remember all that, because people came to me in tears.
Wow.
You know, because they'd lost so much money. And you know, we took them out and put them in, you know, a conservative program where that they're not going to get rich, but where they'll make interest time after time.
Well, you know, it seems like after 2008, maybe people have gotten a little bit more knowledgeable, I guess, of other options. I think a lot of people, you know, they get into like the investment world, and they say, okay, we're going to invest, we're going to do the responsible thing, and they think they are. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but they get into stocks and they go along the journey, and then something like 2008 happens, or, you know, these things happen from time to time, or maybe they're just, you know, maybe something tragic like that doesn't happen, but they look down at their portfolio one day and they say, you know, we really thought that after 20 years in the stock market, we would be doing a whole lot better than we are. And they all of a sudden just realize, my goodness, we're not making anything like what we think we should have. And they start looking for other alternatives. And so what's the greatest thing that you hear from people who have been in that situation in the stock market for years and years, just haven't made what they thought they should have, and nowhere
well,
near?
I think the big thing is somebody else is calling the shots. Somebody else is picking their investments. You're not picking your own investments. You're not saying, well, today I want this, or today I would like to invest in this. You're not doing it. Somebody else is investing your money, and a lot of people say, I don't know what I'm in. I'll say, well, what are you in mutual funds? Are you in stocks? Do you have some of those REITs? I mean, you should none of them have that. And they'll say, well, I don't know. Would you look at this and see what I'm really in? And we look at it, and sometimes the husband and the wife, they've got separate IRAs, separate accounts, but they invested them both in the same thing.
Ooh.
So if one of them loses money, they're both going to lose.
Yeah, that's having all your eggs in one basket.
Instead of saying, you know, having it, you know, in different investments, in case there's a downturn, they won't both lose.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's not that way. And I know I look at the different things they're in, and sometimes it's not the strongest stocks, or it's mutual funds with huge fees. And mutual funds are bad about, you know, the fees that they charge.
Yeah.
And yet some of them make money. You know, I'm not saying they don't, because some of them do. It's just overall, if you take 100 people,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet there's 10 of them that made money.
Yeah, I bet you're probably right. It's not a large percentage.
No, because the market will be going up, and people will come to my office, and their portfolio locally doesn't show that.
Yeah.
That they've made all this money.
It's
so I'm just saying, if you want to be conservative, if you want to make money consistently and get your principal back every time, get your interest back every time, this is a good way to do it.
I guess it kind of comes down to a difference in approach. Maybe a lot of people, you know, go into the stocks and they're hoping for, you know, to hit that one home run with the one thing that's going to just explode overnight. And then there's others that, you know, are in a life settlement and they understand, you know, hey, if we're diversified, we do this properly, we are going to make money. It's just, it's on a steady trajectory. It doesn't happen overnight. But people just kind of, I guess they kind of realize that if they just have a little bit of patience, maybe that might be a way to say it with the life settlement.
Well, you do have to have patience because, like you may have three policies mature rather quickly. Then you may have three that go over and you're waiting on those, you know, to come forward. So, you know, it's different with every person. And I've got some people that are so lucky, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It seems like theirs are always the first ones that mature, first ones. And over the years, it's been that way. Then I've got people that have four or five maturities, then they'll have four or five that go over. You know, and so they have to wait on that next batch. But the principal's good. It's safe. You're going to get your principal. You're going to get your interest every time. And that's what I like.
Yeah, and you know, I guess when you, as long as you bring that up, it's a good point because nothing that happens in the world is going to affect a life settlement. It's you know, we all know with the stock market, anything can happen. With a life settlement, it is its own thing. It's its own entity. Nothing, no worldly events, no stock market crash, no anything that happens does not affect a life settlement at all.
Thank
basically,
goodness.
I know, right?
yeah, everything happens every day. I mean, most people have quit watching the news. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's not anything good happening in the news. So I talk to people all the time. They say, no, I get upset. If I watch the news, I might as well not watch it.
Yeah.
So that way you don't have to know, like you say, what all's going on that is affecting everything. But this, it's not affecting this because it's just a life insurance policy. We are buying life insurance policies on people that have stage four cancer.
And that's the key. I really have no idea. I'm just kind of guessing here. But when people first come over and they don't really, they've never done a life settlement before, they don't understand. Do you have to go through the process and really stress the fact that these are only stage four cancer policies and that there's a reason for that and that these are not policies that you're buying for people who are like in their 50s and they're just, you know, they want to travel the country and the world and all this and that that could mature in, you know, 40 years. Or anything like that. Do you go through the process and say, really, this is the cornerstone of it. This is what makes it so great is the fact that these are only stage four cancer and you target those. I mean, it's not, you don't even accept every single stage four policy that comes over. You do reject some.
We don't because sometimes they're just not sick enough. They've got to be in treatment. They can't be in remission because our people want short term. You know, 30 months or less. And so they don't want something that's going to go 5 to 7 years. A lot of companies do it every day. They buy policies 5 to 7 years out. But I don't know how to make that work because if it's 5 to 7 years, how do you get their income? How do they get their interest? I don't know. So we want people to get that interest. They all tell me, Faye, I want 30 months, 28 months, 24. You know, that's what they want. They've got some that won't really short, 12 months.
Really?
And that reminds me, we have bid on several policies this week. We bid on two that's 18 months.
Wow, that's pretty short.
And then there's one that's 12 months. And so we have bid on some really, really short policies. And usually we don't get those because everybody else is after them. But we were lucky enough to bid those, and we'll see how that turns out.
Wow.
But the reason people like life settlements is the interest is good. They know how much they're going to get up front. Everybody likes to know how much their interest will be. And when we do these policies, they not only ask how much the interest will be, but what if it goes over, what is the premium? And on the last ones I've bid, the premium is so tiny, like 0.20. I mean, not even 1%. So that makes it, if it goes over, you have no exposure whatsoever. I mean, it's so tiny.
Wow.
That you can't even see it. And we also will not do anything. We try never to do one if the premium is over 3%. And I think we've made two exceptions to that. But otherwise, that's the questions I ask. What is my profit? Do I understand the cancer? If they don't, they'll call me and ask me about it. Lots of times I get calls and people will say, Faye, I don't really understand this cancer.
Really?
Then I walk them through how long they've had it, what treatments they've had, and what the prognosis is for it coming due pretty quick.
Neat. And people don't have to be a doctor or, you know, to have medical experience to understand it. It's pretty straightforward. It's in people speak.
And, of course, you know, we have several doctors that are our investors.
Mm.
And, you know, like the Ginsburg policy, they all got in it.
Yeah.
I think everybody that we have got in Ginsburg, as far as we could go. But there was two people that were left out at the end because we had so many people going in it.
That was a huge policy.
It was a huge policy. Again, it's one of those stage four ones with brain cancer. And the last time, and this is what a lot of people asked me about, they didn't see it on there where it said that last surgery they could not complete it. They could not resect the brain on that last one.
And that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Because if you can keep resecting it, it'll put off death longer.
Yeah. It just gives a chance to progress more.
Yes. And then the policies that we look to see if they've gone to clinical trials. Clinical trials will usually prolong your life. We look to see if they've been to Mexico. And all these women that go to Mexico, if they could just hear me say, don't do it. Go to a regular cancer specialist.
Yeah.
Because they don't want their breast taken off. And so they go to Mexico to try to save themselves. And it's growing all that time. They come back, and then when we read the report on them, the doctor says, this cannot be stopped now. It's gone too far. You know, you weren't doing anything like radiation, and chemo is so bad. A lot of people say, rather than ever doing chemo again, I'm going to do something else. I know it's bad, but to me, the radiation would be your first choice, and then immunology therapy, something like that. But get something going.
Yeah.
Don't just stand there.
Yeah, people, they look for non-intrusive, like miracle solutions, things like that. Wow. And all those things make a difference when you're looking at these policies and, you know, deciding whether or not you're going to bid on them or not. Their lifestyle, if they're out playing golf, that's an indicator of that they're not.
That's right. If they're playing golf every day, they're not sick and don't need to sell their policy. But and then sometimes they wait too long. You know, we've had three or four that they awarded us the contract. We're getting it ready. And, we've sent the money out. And they passed away within a month. Well, heck, that's something everybody ought to know. It's 16 days after you give them the money. In some states, I think there's a couple of states, it's 60 days.
Really?
You have to give the family the money, and they cancel the contract, send us it back our money, and then the family gets the money from it.
The policy when it matures.
Yeah.
So there's that little grace period in there.
They have a grace period, and we've had it happen to us two or three times, probably more than that, maybe four times.
In all these years, only four times? I would have thought it would probably have been more.
I think there's only four. I may be wrong. Might be more than that. But I know that's you have to hold your breath after you do this, to be sure it's long enough.
Yeah. I don't think the Ginsburg policy is outside of that window yet, but it should be probably getting close, I would think.
Yeah, it's not outside that window yet, but it will be quickly.
Wow. So when people come over and they say, hey, I want to get into life settlements, they should expect that it will take some time to grow their wealth. It's not going to happen overnight. But it sounds like, you know, when you weigh the options, though, you weigh the risks, you weigh the return, you weigh the time that you know, people get a return on their investment. It seems like it really kind of tips the scale in the investor's favor when you put all these things together. Because they know they're going to get the principal. They know that it's a solid foundation. There are three big risks, though, and we'll talk about those here in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, which is really important, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, I think it's a very, very interesting topic. We're going to talk about bitcoins today.
Ooh.
Yes. Do you know what a bitcoin is worth today?
No.
$46,000 this morning.
What? You're kidding me.
No. $46,000. I looked it up.
Bitcoin, isn't this the thing? Because I don't know that I really understand it. It seems
nobody
like.
Does.
So it's
that's why I'm going to talk about it this morning. Okay, we're going to talk about Texas, and we're going to talk about bitcoins in Texas. Rockdale, Texas has now got one of the biggest bitcoin places they hope to be in the world. Two big companies have went there, and they've started mining for bitcoin. Now, the people in the town are saying just what you said. They said, well, we're glad it's here, but we don't really understand how it works.
Well, good. At least I'm not the only one. I don't feel so crazy now.
But this town was fading fast. Rockdale was home to Alcoa Aluminum for years and years, 70 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, do you know how aluminum is made?
Not really, no.
They take the ore out of the ground.
Really?
People don't even know that. I didn't realize. And they say we have more aluminum than you could ever use.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. Now, they came to Rockdale 70 years ago, and they had the biggest aluminum processing plant in the world at one time.
Jeez.
Yeah. And right there in Rockdale. But it became unprofitable. So they shut it down in 2008. Well, when they did, the town just started floundering. I mean, businesses are closed downtown. It's a small town, about 2,000 people. But they opened that plant in 1952. And they put thousands of people to work. They added millions of dollars to their economy down there. The Saturday Evening Post said, the town where it rains money.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. And back then, it was just, you know, they were doing so good. But then things went bad. They had to shut it down. But the one thing they had done is they had built a power plant.
Really?
Well, with bitcoin, you have to have power, a tremendous amount of power. So these people found out that there was a power plant there, and people started saying, you know, I think we could invest some money. Well, come to find out, they said, we will invest a total of about $25 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's turned Rockdale around, and there's at least two bitcoin mining companies there, and one of them is using the old Alcoa plant.
Really?
Now, let me tell you about their computers. They have rows of mining computers, 16 feet tall, the length of 3 football fields. They have a space that once was filled with cauldrons of molten metal. It's just mining bitcoins is something that, you know, it takes a lot of computers to do it.
That is massive.
Oh, it is massive. And the two companies are there say that it will be the biggest bitcoin manufacturing in the world. Now, I don't know if that's going to come true. But when the aluminum company came there and started extracting ore, It was a process that was developed by Charles Hall of Ohio and French chemist Paul Harrod in 1886.
Oh, wow.
And so they opened the reduction company in Pittsburgh, and it was the first large-scale aluminum production plant. And then, of course, in 1907, they changed it to Aluminum Company of America. Then finally it became Alcoa, which we all know. Aluminum to this day is still processed using their process that these guys developed.
Really? Back in 1886?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're the ones that thought it up. And this Bitkom deal, it takes a lot of different things to make it work. But as you could see, you have to have rows and rows of computers 16 feet high.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Bitkom is a computer-generated thing. You know, it's all computers.
All right.
So like everybody said, and I agree, we don't really understand, you know, how it really works. But we know that it's $46,000 a Bitcoin right now.
That's insane.
It is insane. And these people had looked and looked for a place, and when this mining company realized that Rockdale, Texas, had all these things that would make it work, you know, they said, we need to go there. But right now there's 33,000 acres being mined in Texas.
Really?
Yeah, 33,000 acres.
Jeez.
And this company says they're going to be the biggest.
So where does one get one of these?
Well,
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But people talk about it, and they trade them all the time. And then every once in a while, some scoundrel runs off with it. So, you know, but it's a digital currency.
Digital?
It is a digital currency.
So it's not actually anything that you actually hold. You don't touch it.
You don't
put it in your wallet. You don't anything like that. You wouldn't ever go and say, this is going to cost you 45 Bitcoin, and you hand them the something, and it's all digital.
Yes, the whole thing is digital. But you have to have all this power, like this power plant, to run all these computers and all this. And you have to have a whole bank of computers, you know. It's an amazing thing the way it works.
It's fascinating to me, really.
And all these people are coming to Texas because we have cheap electricity.
Oh, yeah.
See, because it takes a tremendous amount of power to put this together to make it work.
Well, my goodness, with computers that big, I would think your power bill would be through the roof. That takes a lot to run stuff.
I imagine
like that.
It is. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
And the mayor of Rockdale says he has a little bit of Bitcoin mining going on, but he says he hadn't ever made any money because his deal is too small.
Really?
Yeah. The mayor says, I'm doing it too, but he says it's so small, I'm not making any money.
Wow.
Yeah, his little Bitcom deal is not doing well, but he wants to see her best. But they said our laws in Texas are very good for this.
Really?
Uh huh.
So it sounds like this is almost like the perfect place to be doing this.
I think Texas is, and there's another company called Layer One Technologies, and they announced they'll be buying 350 acres in the area by the end of the year.
Really?
And then Pyote, Texas, has popped up. Many crypto miners going there.
Wow. Wasn't this something that started, because it seems like people had talked about getting into something like this like 10, 15, 20 years ago, or maybe more. I don't even know. But it's like I started hearing something about it, you know, a long time ago, and it just kind of like went away and disappeared. And so it sounds like there's like this resurgence of something, if I'm even thinking of the same thing, because I didn't understand it then. until now, I'm really not even sure I understood it like, you know, 20 minutes ago. And so it may not even be the same thing, but it seems like it's something that had started and then just kind of faded away, and now it's come back.
Well, I think in 2008, all these bitcoins went down in value, but now they're back. As I said, $46,000. And I, you know, if they didn't have the power plants and all that, you could not do it. Because it takes a tremendous amount of electricity.
Wow.
And they said that's your biggest cost, is having all this electricity to run all these computers, and it has to be powered by electricity. And if you don't have that, you can't do this Bitcoin stuff.
And it's digital currency.
It's digital currency.
So if I go in...
People, yeah, you can go online and say... I want to buy some bitcoins, okay?
Really?
Yeah.
Can I pay for stuff? Like if
there's a lot of people are now accepting it as payment rather than cash or checks.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's becoming popular, but it's virtual. Looks to me like everything is virtual.
Wow. All right.
But 46,000 this morning.
Jeez, Louise.
Can you imagine?
Is this design? I mean, if you have a whole separate currency, because I know at one point Facebook was talking about having their own currency. Is this a good thing, having different currencies floating around like that? Or is it?
Well, I don't know. I think you'd have to know a lot about it and understand it, or you might get burned.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't know about it real good, be a little bit cautious about this thing.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And this town is so poor. This is what's so funny. They were so poor, everything on Main Street was closed down. The city manager's already left. The hospital's closed. But they spent several million dollars on a new football field.
For who?
I mean, that's typical West Texas, isn't it? I mean, football is number one. You may not have anything to eat, but, you know, but we do need to have that.
Oh, my. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, and you're talking about rock
deal. I love the deal of these computers, 16 feet tall and 3 football fields.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine a computer that big.
I can't either. And there's one guy who'd worked for Alcoa for 35 years. He said, well, I've tried to read about it to figure it out. He said, I just can't grasp how it actually works. I mean, you know, we're with him, you know. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I feel like that guy.
Yeah.
Not quite sure. Well, I mean, maybe it's something worth looking into then. I mean, it seems like it's, you know, it's an actual thing, and it's not, you know, because I was always not sure if it was even real or not. And so now, but it sounds like it is this morning.
And this one guy said, it might not be the easiest thing to sell to a community dependent on heavy industry. He said, can I go down to the Chevy dealership and say, I want to buy this with Bitcoin? He wants to know. And in a small town, I don't think he could. They wouldn't understand the Bitcoins for a new Chevrolet pickup.
I'm kind of like in the same boat.
But people do trade these Bitcoins. They're traded every day all over the world.
Really?
Yes.
So this is like a worldwide thing.
Oh, yeah. They're traded all over the world.
Wow.
And there's people that do this every day. They trade in Bitcoins everywhere. And now they're actually, a lot of places are taking them. I've been reading about it, you know, what places will take them.
Interesting.
And at one time, the banks, like J.P. Morgan, said they weren't going to have anything to do with it. But now it looks like they are.
Really?
So a lot of people are coming around on it.
It adds a lot of legitimacy when you find out that you can actually buy things and like actual like banks are, you know, reconsidering. It seems like there's something more here than what I actually thought. Wow.
Yes, and I think you have to know how it works, you know, how to go and trade something if you've bought all these Bitcoins.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely sounds like something to look into. Obviously, anybody who gets involved would have to do some more research. Are there like Bitcoin brokers?
Yes, there is.
Oh,
there
really?
Is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And you say people's trade is there like a? It sounds like a like there's a, like a Bitcoin stock market for its own self.
I don't know if there's an actual stock market, but I know that. They say that there's all these people trading in Bitcoins.
Jeez.
Because you know there's a market for it. If it says today it's $46,000.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. How did it ever get that high?
I don't know. It happened like water on our
nose. And just crash, and everybody says, uh-oh,
yeah,
this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't know.
Man.
But I thought it was very interesting. I never thought we'd have Bitcoins going on in Texas.
Oh, I know.
You know, I'm always reading about all this in New York and London and, you know, Dubai, around the world, but not in Texas.
Yeah.
And they're all excited, I think, because electricity's cheap here. So all these people are coming to Texas. It said there's 33,000 acres they're using for Bitcoins. I don't know who it is or where it is even.
Wow. Well,
geez. Pyote, Texas, they're doing it there and in Rockdale.
Wow. Well, I had no idea.
Yeah, it said, and our laws are so good for this.
Wow. Well, this is definitely something that that I think I'm going to have to. I feel like I feel like this has happened like right under our nose, and I'm like so far behind the times on this. It's like maybe I need to kind of, you know, research and kind of try to catch up a little bit.
That's what I said. I said it's right under our nose. I had no idea they were doing Bitcoins in Texas.
And it,
I thought I was up on everything, but I wasn't up on this because it was happening everywhere else, and I understood that. But I didn't know it had come to Texas.
Yeah, me neither. And people actually take it as currency. You can buy stuff with it.
Yes, and I think it's sophisticated people doing it. I don't think it's your Chevrolet dealer. I don't think that's going to happen. But I've been reading about different people saying, yes, we'll let them pay with Bitcoin.
Wow. And it's at 46,000 today.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's incredible. I had no idea. Well, I appreciate you opening the door for that. That's definitely something to explore.
I thought it would really be interesting for everybody to know that we have Bitcoin in Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is new, but they're starting to mine it. And, gosh, it takes these huge, huge computers and all this to make it work.
I had no clue. It's a much bigger operation than what I ever had any idea.
Oh, yeah. And the two companies that have went to Rockdale are large companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not any little bitty company. It took some big companies to go there you know, start this.
Yeah. Man, I didn't have a clue. So that's definitely, that's on my list of stuff to do this weekend for sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We may be kind of newbies to the whole Bitcoin thing, but as far as life settlements and growing money that way, you're an absolute expert. There are, though, three major risks that people need to know about. And I think when people kind of, we talk about this all the time, we say risks, and yes, they do qualify as risks, but when people assess these quote risks versus, you know, what people could be up against with the stock market or unknown entities or anything like that, other opportunities, when you look at them, they're really rather low, especially considering that even to do a life settlement, one has to be accredited. So what's the first, first of all, what does it mean to be accredited?
I've started to back you up and say, well, yeah. Now let me do this. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
All right.
It's either or. You don't have to qualify on both. And if there's a question, people can call me and say, I'm not sure I'm worth $1 million. And I'll walk them through what qualifies and what doesn't. And like your ranch, your farm, your cattle, your horses, you know, assets. Is what qualifies you. If you've got stocks and bonds, cash value of life insurance, whatever you have, you add it up and see if you've got everything. If you have a 401k, if you have an IRA, that counts. Whatever your assets are. If you own your own business, of course, that counts. Everybody has all kinds of assets they don't even realize. And lots of times I've had people not realize that the 401k they have is an asset.
Really?
That you can count it, sure. So, you know, I always tell them about that. So you must be qualified. And then there's three risks going along with this. The first risk is a policy could go over. You have to be prepared for a policy to go over. It happens every once in a while. And if it goes over, you have to pay premium. Always check how much the premium is. Our people always do. And so that's the one that the policies could go long. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. So that's your biggest risk in this whole thing. Can I stand it if it goes over? The next risk is it's not liquid until it matures.
Okay.
And our people are all accredited, so that wouldn't even be a factor. And the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under, it would take you longer to get your money. We haven't had a life insurance company go under in years because they're worth so many billions and billions of dollars. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands. We're talking about billions. So
go ahead.
So that's not even a concern anymore. I should take it off the list. But
just take it off the list.
Take it off the list, folks.
there's now two.
Yeah, I'll bring that down to two. No, I always do that.
For a new investor who's thinking about getting into life settlements, when you say that sometimes a policy goes over, I'm sure probably the thoughts going through their brain somewhere, it's like how long, and I know anything's possible and there's different lengths and every situation is different, but on average, how long would you say maybe a policy might go over, just average?
Well, it might go over a year, 2 years. I've got one that's over three now.
Oh, really?
Well, these are the old policies. They really don't qualify in this because the ones we do now are not going to go over maybe a year or 2 years. But those old policies we bought back in 2014, I still have to say they're still with us. Remember that.
Yeah.
So when I say a year or 2 years, those are long overdue. But we've only got three left.
They're just policies.
If we live long enough, we'd get those out.
Those were just policies of elderly people that weren't actually sick. You don't do those investments anymore. It's strictly.
We've never done it since. When we got stung by this people, we never did it again. We've just been trying to climb out of that deal. They told us they were ill. We bought them, and they were elderly. We know now elderly people, bless God and them, they're going to outlive us all. They have a very long longevity. They're going to live in their 90s.
Yeah.
And the one that just came due back in the summer, I think she was 94 when she finally died.
Wow.
So, God love the elderly, but they're not going to die, I can tell you.
Yeah, yeah, they're strong, tough
birds. And they're not sick. They're very strong.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, our people, we do cancer now and other illnesses, but we don't do anybody over 76.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're not doing, and every day, The people are sending me policies, 85, 90. I go, go away, go away. Don't even talk to me about it.
You know, you're not even going to look at it.
I'm still trying to dig out of that other mess. I think we have three left.
All right. And once those are done, then they're done.
They're done, and we'll never have that happen again.
Yeah. All right. So for people who are, they kind of want to get started. They want to get into life settlements. They're like, hey, I love the fact that, it's a solid foundation. We know we're going to get paid. We know that nothing's going to affect the investment, whether anything happens, worldwide. It's just really a matter of waiting game. You buy the policy, and you wait for it to mature. You get paid, and then you're back in another one. Those that want to get started, what's the first step they should take?
They should make an appointment, talk to me. Let's talk about what you want to accomplish, all about your investment, how you want it to grow. If it's an IRA, if it's a 401k, talk to me about it, whatever it is, and we'll get it started.
Awesome. And one last time for people to call and make your appointment, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.